David. What's this? I forgot to mention this morning that Gary had announced next Sunday will be Remembrance Sunday, so if I can try and be in for 4 to 11 and start service, because I believe this year the parade for Remembrance Sunday's in Scarver, so that might be at 10:30 or so. So it's just to give you a bit of warning that we'll start at 10:45 next week. Yeah. Mightn't be too long a service this morning, but you know, it's just a thought that I had. If anybody's been listening to the news this last week, you've heard of that disaster where Leicester City Football Club, where the helicopter came down and the owner and 4 people have been killed. You know, I was just thinking about it when they were speaking about that man. They were saying about, you know, he seemed to be a good man, and he'd done a lot for charity, he'd done a lot for the schools and hospitals there, and even football club, he'd done a lot there. And I read that he was valued at $4.9 billion net, US dollars. You know, that's a figure maybe that some of us, you could never get your head around. You know, you've never earned that. All of us in here have worked a lifetime, you've never earned that sort of money. Even the interest in that money would be enough to see us all the rest of our lives. But you know what, when I was thinking about it, the scripture that came to me was the one in Job. And I'll just read it this now. It says, I'll just read this one and then we'll read our verse. But in Job chapter 37 and verse 18 it says, hast thou with him, I'm on the wrong verse, it's chapter 36, verse 18, because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with a stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee, a great ransom. You know, it's not something, it doesn't matter what you have in this world, if you haven't got Christ, you have nothing. And it won't matter about the money. But maybe we can stand to our feet. And then, according to Psalm chapter 49, and I really want to go through it all, but just for a reading, we'll just read verses 6 to 9. And then we'll... So, Psalm chapter 49, verses 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. Maybe we just bow for a word of prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, once again this morning, I just come before you and through the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask, it's already been asked, that you be here and be one of our number, Holy Spirit, I pray. And Lord, touch me, help me to bring your word, Lord, to the life, to the people here and here today, Lord Jesus. A word, Lord, that is full of life, a living word, Lord Jesus. And may it bless, may it redeem. Lord, may you just have your way in and through our service, I pray. Lord, just help me, help your people here this morning. For it's in and through your precious name we ask it. Come now, Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Just this Psalm 49 is really... I've read it maybe before a long time ago, but I never really went into any detail on it. And I was thinking of that word ransom, or ransom for many. And these are good verses here. But I want to start at verse 1 and just have a quick read through this. Maybe speak about a few things. And it says to this is Psalm in my Bible, it says, to the chief musician a psalm for the sons of Korah. And then verse 1, it says, hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world. So straight away, that's for each and every one of us. It's not just for the believers, it's not for the unbelievers. It's not for the message, it's not for the Baptists, it's not for the Presbyterians. It's hear ye all the world. This is for every man, every woman, every child upon the face of the earth. It says, hear this, all ye people, give ear. Give ear, pay attention to it. You know, don't let it just go in one ear and out the other. But pay attention to it. You know, we ought to meditate on the word of God. And it says, both low and high, rich and poor together. So that's each and every one of us. That's for the millionaire. That's for the man that has nothing, maybe living on the street. Because you know, you can be homeless and live on the street, but if you had the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you'd have more riches in your life than a millionaire has. Because you know, and I believe if you have Jesus in your life, you know, he'll not leave you in the street. You know, because the Word of God, it can, but don't preach a gospel of prosperity. But you know, Jesus will bless you. The Lord will bless you. You know, there's things in the Bible, principles in the Bible. And you know, if man or woman, if you tithe to God, God's under obligation to bless you. And I believe he will bless you, and I believe he has blessed us. But it says, both low and high, rich and poor together. Verse 3, my soul shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. You know, when I read this verse, I was thinking, my mouth shall speak of wisdom. Well, what is wisdom? You know, there's so much stuff in the world, and everybody has their own ideas, and maybe there's philosophers, and somebody maybe say, oh, they follow some person, or somebody's really smart, they have a great IQ, or they're internationally known, or they're great poets, or great thinkers. But when I read, my mouth shall speak of wisdom, what greater wisdom than this Word of God? Because, you know, this isn't man's words. It's not man's thought, it's God's thoughts. It's the Word of God from before the foundation of the world. It says, my mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. And I've wrote in my Bible the Scriptures. And then, you know what? In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, you know what it says about the Scripture? It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It all comes from the inspiration of God, from the mind of God. That's where all Scriptures come from. And it says, and it's profitable for doctrine. So it's not, this is profitable for doctrine, not man's ideas. It's not man's ideas that's profitable for doctrine, it's the Word of God.
Amen.
For reproof. So, if you're doing wrong, you read this, you'll soon know if you're doing wrong. This Word will tell you what you're doing wrong. For correction, the Word of God will correct you. For instruction in righteousness, this word here, the Word of God, it will instruct you in righteousness. It'll tell you how you should live your life. How you shouldn't be a drunkard. How you shouldn't curse. Shouldn't swear. You shouldn't be a fighter. You shouldn't be going about telling tales. This word here is for instruction. You know, it says, my mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. So if we just take the Scriptures for that verse, we'll not fulfill it. You know, I believe it was, I could be wrong, but I believe it was David wrote this. It doesn't say in my Bible who was the, but I believe David wrote the majority of the Psalms. You know, what a man that had wisdom was David. You know, when God anointed him, when Samuel went and he anointed him with oil, from that, you know, God had his hand upon him. He anointed him king over Israel. You know, and David had wisdom, and this is David writing this. And then it says in verse 4, I will incline my ear to a parable. You know, many people say, oh, you can't take parables, you can't take doctrine from parables. But Jesus taught with parables. Look at many parables that are in the Bible. I remember years ago hearing on the radio where some of them things, was some of them Christian stations. But they wouldn't call it a parable, they called it, I can't even remember now, but it was, I can't even remember how they phrased it, but it was like a picture story in your mind. It was a parable. That's what it is. It's a parable. It's a story. And from that parable, you can take a parallel to the Word of God and how you should live your life from it. And here it says, I will incline my ear to a parable. I will open my dark sign upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil? You know, maybe many days of evil come upon us, but here's the word. Wherefore should we fear? You know, what can this world, it says, don't fear him that can kill the soul, or can kill the body, but fear him that can kill the soul. You know, who can kill the soul? God and God alone. God and God alone has the power of death and life in his hands. You know, no matter what man can do to us, and maybe, you know, I believe we're getting to a time where men might once again pay with their lives, be martyrs for the Word of God. Because, you know, without going into politics and all, and Brexit and all that, and I believe in Brexit. But you know, I believe there's going to be a time, like it says in Revelations, where no man could buy nor sell, save he that had the mark and the number of his name. And that's 70. 666 went from the head. 3 score. I can't even remember it was.
666?
Uh-huh.
3 score and 6.
600, 3 score and 6. I was missing the 600. 600, 3 score and 6. You know that? But here it says, don't fear them. Don't fear. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil? And says, and then it's comma, and says, when the iniquity of my heel shall compass me about. And I read that, you know, what does that tell you? And maybe you could go in and people's study Bibles and all this and have all their ideas, but when I read it, it says, when the iniquity of my heels, it says, when the iniquity of my heels, not somebody else's, no. My heels, maybe my feet's run me in somewhere where it shouldn't be, maybe I'm doing something I shouldn't do, but it's my iniquities, it's your iniquities. It says, when the iniquities of my heels compass me about, why should I fear? Because you know why you should not fear? Because we have an advocate with the Father.
Amen.
And you know, you don't go out and sin willfully when you're a Christian. But if you do make a mistake, you know, there's always grace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the thing about our God. He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. You know, when Peter, you know, Peter was a great apostle. And he stood there on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Ghost fell upon him, and he preached on that day of Pentecost boldly. And when he them scriptures about, this is what was spoken of Joel the prophet, I'll pour my spirit out upon all men. And he in Acts 2 and 38, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had said he prayed for him. Jesus said, thou art Peter, and he called him rock, and upon that rock, which we know was Revelation, I'll build my word, my kingdom. But you know the thing about Peter? He denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. He denied him. You know, maybe some of us haven't denied the Lord Jesus Christ like that, but he denied him. And somebody said one time they couldn't preach, and somebody else said, well, if an owl cock could crow twice, and that was enough to convict Peter. You know, we ought to be able to give a word for the Lord, no matter if any of us, if God could use a rooster, he could use us. And Peter, you know what the great thing about it? Even though Peter had cursed and denied the Lord Jesus Christ, he repented. And look what God done on the day of Pentecost, and the man that God made him. Because there's grace with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So we ought not to fear. Don't fear. Don't go out and sin willfully. But it says, wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels should compass me about? And then these are the great verses here. It says, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. So it will not matter if you have £1,000, if you have £100, if you have £100,000, or if you have £100,000,000, you're not to boast in it. You know, when you talk about rich men, it's not just rich men in the world. There's rich Christians. But here's the thing, it says, they that trust in the wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of the riches. Verse 7, none of them can any means redeem his brother. You can't buy salvation. No man by any means can redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. You can't pay. As I've said in Job 36, no man can pay a ransom. No man for to redeem his brother. In verse 7, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. So it ceases forever. It means that you can never, when you take them verses together, no man can, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. You could never pay your whole life to redeem somebody. And you know what that tells me? It tells me right there and then that purgatory and paying for somebody to get them out of purgatory is of the devil. It's of a different spirit. It's of the seed of discrepancy. And you know, that's the thing. Where many people that call themselves Protestants today, they know nothing. Nothing of the true word of God or Protestantism. You know the way they're Protestant? They were born into a family that called themselves Protestant. But unless you know the word of God, unless you know why you're against them things, that you can line up with the Word of God and you become a Christian, that makes you a true Protestant, because you protest the things of Rome. Here you have, here's the Word of God doing a complete opposite, a rebuke of what they're doing, paying for the souls of people. And it says, you can't redeem them, for the redemption of their soul is precious. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, what does it say? It says, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What could you give in exchange for your soul? You couldn't give anything. Because you know what? It says your soul is precious.
Amen.
And here's the thing. If you lose your soul, you know what that means? It means you go to hell. It means you go to that Hades, that place of the damned. That's where the man that loses his soul, that's where it goes. There's no, you know, people talk today, and when you listen, it's so far removed from the Word of God, and they talk about, oh, maybe somebody's been sick, and they say, he passed away, and they say they're not suffering now. You know, it might be an awful thing to say, but a lot of them people, the suffering's only started. And that suffering could go on for a long, long time. But I believe that one day, you know, it says all those that were in hell, that they were cast into the lake of fire, and that's the second death. You know, that'll be the finish of it then. But until that time, you know, there is suffering for the soul that's lost. But it says, and what shall he give in exchange for a soul? He can't give nothing. But here's the thing about it. The gift of God is eternal life. It's not something. When you think of a millionaire and all that money and all that they can do, and you can't, that man or that woman in that position with all that money, they can't do anything to redeem their own soul. They can't ransom, they can't pay no amount of money on this earth for their soul. But you know what? Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. You know, it's a free gift. It's not something,
amen,
something that you can't buy. But here's the mercy of God. He says, you can't buy that. But here, I'm giving it to you free. You take it. You know, wouldn't it be something if somebody said to you, there's a car, and you say, I'd love that car, but you know, could never afford it. And somebody says to you, there's the keys, it's yours. Wouldn't you think something of that? Or if they said to you, you've seen a big house somewhere, and you said, I'd love that house. Well, look at it, it's great. And somebody says to you, there's the keys to the house, it's yours. They could bless you like a... But here's the thing, God says, come unto me, all ye that are labour and are all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Son.
Amen.
And you know what people do? People say, oh, I wouldn't believe that. Wouldn't believe that. Oh, I don't believe in God. Oh, I tried religion, but it, you know, it wasn't for me. But here's the thing about it. It's that's the thing that confuses. That's the thing that's such a great mystery. How when Jesus and them little children come unto him and he blessed them, and the disciples want to chase them away, and he says, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such as is the kingdom of God. You have to be like childlike faith. You know, that's one of the greatest, that's a great mystery. Childlike faith, because you know, when I tell my children something, if I'm going to give them something, they don't go into an intellectual thinking, oh, how could my dad do that? How would he do that? He'd have to work so many hours to get so much money to do that. And then they'd look at maybe the circumstances around him, maybe think, oh, he'd never done that before. He's maybe he spent all the money on that, or he's done this. No, he couldn't do that. He's telling us that, but he couldn't do that. No, here's what they do. If I say to them, we'll get some sweets on the way home, you know what they do? When we're on the way home, they say, you're getting us sweets. You know, and that's the thing. It's childlike faith. So when God says to you, if he says to you, and you're feeling sick, and he says in his word, to come to church, to get the elders to anoint you with oil, and lay hands on you, and pray for sick, and you shall recover. You know what you should do? You should believe that you will recover.
Amen.
You know, when God says, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver thee. You know what in the day of trouble you should do?
Yes.
You should call on the name of the Lord and expect him to deliver you. You know, that's faith. That's childlike faith. That's where people get, I believe, people get so wound up. Because they tried to figure it out themselves. And here's the thing, you can't figure God out. Because, you know, God calls the scientists and the wisdom of this world, he calls it all foolishness. And on this, it is just foolishness to compare to God. Because here, people go into great big arguments, scientists, evolution and all that. And you know, the question to baffle any of them. And it's no joke. It's who came first, the chicken or the egg? No evolutionist can tell you the answer to that. No scientist can tell you the answer to that. None. But if you read in Genesis, you'll see where God created all the animals on the earth.
Amen.
There's the answer, plain and simple. And any Christian should know that the chicken came first. Any Christian. And like, that's simplicity. But you know, that question, it was a few weeks ago, they were still saying that, I actually heard on the news where somebody had sort of worked, thought now that the egg came first, some scientist. And I was like, that is so dark. You know, they're not somebody that went to university for that. So, you know, if an egg came first, I'd like to know, well, how did the rooster fertilize it? You know, I don't know. So, that's that one. It says, but you can't, it says their soul is precious. And it says that he should still live forever and not see corruption. You know, there was one that didn't see corruption. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. David said in the Psalms that he should not suffer his loved one to see corruption, his son to see corruption. And we know that takes after the crucifixion of Christ, where they believed, and the Jews believed that after 3 days corruption entered the body. And maybe before that 3 days was up, there might have been a chance for a man to come back from the dead. But after that 3 days, there was no chance. But here, you know, and this, you know the thing about it, the Jews seen where Jesus had made an end of it. He had actually, what could you say, confounded them. Because when Lazarus died, and he lay in that grave, and what did Mary say to him? But you know, he said, loose him and let him go, take away the stone and loose him. Or take away the stone. And Mary says to him, but he's been there 4 days already. Corruption had set in, and all around corruption had set in. But you know what Jesus said? He didn't go into a whole philosophy of how he might be able to raise them from the dead and why corruption might have set in, might not. He just shouted, Lazarus, come forth. That was it. And you know what happened? Here Lazarus come out, still bound in the grave clothes. And he said, loose him and let him go. And he loosed him. You know, he was in the best condition of his life, I believe. Because, you know, God had touched him. He had done something for him. And it says, should not see corruption. Verse 10, for he seeth that wise men die. Likewise the fool and the brutish person and leave their wealth to others. So it not matter why you're wise, it not matter why you're fool. Here's the thing, anything in this world, when you go, you leave it behind. You leave it to others. And it says, their inward thought is that their house shall continue forever, and their dwelling places on all generations, that they call their lands after their own names. You know, maybe men, they want to make a name for themselves, they want a family. You can see in history how the royal families through England, they always wanted a son. And King Henry, he always wanted, King Henry VIII, he wanted a son. And he had so many wives and he didn't have a son. I think he had one son and he died early. He always wanted an heir, that name. You know, here's people that want an heir. They want their houses. Maybe they build some great thing. You can go around the countryside, you can see great country houses. You can go to parts where there's great castles. Carrickfergus, a great castle. You can see remains of the castle up around Antrim Coast. Go into Scotland, there's lots of castles. All over the world, Germany, lots of castles. You know, through France, all the Normans. What is that for? That's for men. That would count themselves maybe men of renown, great men. Where they build something on this earth, they're trying to make a home and a kingdom on earth. But it's the kingdom of heaven where they should really have been making their home. Because, you know, that's where somewhere where the moth doesn't and the worm doesn't corrupt. You know, where here silver and gold, it'll rust, it'll corrupt. But, you know, in heaven, there's no corruption. Amen. There's only life in heaven because the Lord's there. It says, nevertheless, man being in honour abideth not. He's like the beasts that perish. This their ways are fully, yet their posterity approve their sayings. Like sheep they are laid in the grave, death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. Maybe there's one for the celebrities. And not just women now, but men also. You know, men's as bad as women now, celebrities, where they're doing their eyebrows, they're doing their tan, fake tan, all these things. You know, maybe they're, you see on TV and there are so many followers on Instagram or on Twitter and all these things. You know, and that's what our modern world is. And it's got a point now where it's not just women that want to be beautiful and look their best. Men's the same. And you know, they maybe spend as much money and time in the hairdressers as a woman now. But here's the thing about it. Once in the grave, corruption sets in. And it says, if you're standing at a graveside, they say, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. And you know, no matter what you do with this body, no matter where you go to the gym 3 times a week, give a six pack, no matter where you can run so many miles, no matter where you can spend money on plastic surgery or do whatever, once the grave comes and death comes, Amen. It brings corruption with it.
Amen.
The body, it'll go back to dust. It came from the earth, it'll go back to the earth. It says, the beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 20, what does it say in verse 28? Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Mark chapter 10, 45, the exact same verse, it's the same words. But it says, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to the earth to hear what the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the high priests thought. He didn't come to be ministered unto. He came, and what says, but to minister. Jesus Christ came, and he preached unto them. He lifted the scriptures, and he read to them out of Isaiah the prophet, and he said to them, unto this day the scriptures fulfilled. That's what Jesus done. And says unto give his life a ransom for many. He went freely to the cross. That's the thing about our Lord Jesus Christ. He went freely to the cross of Calvary, and he gave his life a ransom for many. And you know, no matter, we've read where no man could pay a ransom, but Jesus paid the ransom for us.
Amen.
And it says, what are some of the other scriptures? It says in Romans chapter 10 and 9, this is how you avail of this ransom. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
You know, what's hard about that? What's complicated about that? There's nothing complicated about that. You know, you don't have to go to university for 5 years and get some sort of degree, some sort of head knowledge to avail of that. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Romans 10 and 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Whosoever. That's anyone. That's everyone. The whosoever. Peter, 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, it says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers. So it's not something that your father could do to pass on to you, that you're redeemed. The only thing that your father could do to you that would give you any hope in life is where they could share the word of God with you. Where they could tell you, child, there's going to come a day in your life when you're going to have to make a decision for yourself. Where you're going to have to make that decision, where you come to a point in your life where you're going to have to make a decision where you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior or where you don't. That's the only thing that you, conversation that you can receive from your Father that'll do you any good. It says, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Isn't that it? Jesus came, he was born without sin. He didn't come like me or you. He's born, the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. She conceived. He was born into this world without sin. And he came without sin, without blemish and without spot. In the Old Testament, not any lamb could have done for their sacrifice. It had to be the best lamb. It It had to be without blemish. It had to be without spot. And Jesus was a lamb. John said in 1 John chapter 29, it says, so John seeing him come, he said to his disciples that were following him, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John knew him. John recognized him, that he was the Lamb of God. And he pointed his disciples to him. You know, if you read on, you'll see where the next day, the two of his disciples, when they seen Jesus, they followed him. Because you know why they followed him? Because they heard what John said and they acted upon it. And they knew that John pointed them to it, to follow Christ. You know, I think that's the problem today, where people look at a messenger or a prophet today and they don't really listen. They just, they might think they're listening, they might read, they might know a lot of head knowledge. But here's the thing. As John pointed them disciples to Jesus Christ, Brother Branham done the exact same thing. He pointed men and women to Jesus Christ. John didn't say, "I'm John the Baptist, follow me." He didn't say that. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He pointed them to Jesus. And you know, if I can't get anything over to you today, all I can do is point you to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, I might know everything. I might know all the scriptures. I might know all the head knowledge that's going about today. I might know a lot of doctrines. But I know this, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
You know, that's simplicity. I believe that's the problem today. People have lost the simplicity of the gospel. And you know, people's trying to make it into something where you could go into a church and you might come out and your head might be spinning. You mightn't really, you could come out and you could say, "What was that all about?" But you ought not to be able to go into a church and come out like that. I believe if you'd have been in a church 100, 200 years ago, you couldn't have come out like that. I believe the truth that many people had in this land alone, that you would go in, if you hear them old preachers or you read them old books, there's no way you would go into a service and come out not knowing your need of salvation. Could you imagine going into Spurgeon services and coming out with you thinking, "What was that about?" Or didn't really get that. Or somebody asked you, "What was he speaking about?" And you said, "You know what, I'm not really sure." You couldn't have done that. If you'd have went in there, you know what would have happened? If you weren't saved, I believe you'd have been under great conviction that you needed to be saved. And if you were under conviction, you know the thing about it, you wouldn't have been left like that. You'd have been shown that there was a remedy for sin.
Amen.
And the remedy for sin is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The whole world, people sometimes, the whole world's against them. Amen. Everybody's against them. Somebody's done them wrong. But you know the thing about it? What about it?
Amen.
You know, what about it? Somebody's done you wrong. What about it? You know, when instead of getting caught up in that, think about this. Think about what the Lord Jesus Christ done for you.
Amen.
When you think about, "Oh, they've done me wrong." Well, think about this. Think about that whipping post where Jesus stood.
That's right.
He said he come as a lamb before slaughter's done. He stood there and he never spoke a word to them. And they whipped him, and they whipped him, and they beat him. And before he even got that length, they took their hands and they smote him out across their face, his face. And what any of you in here want me or Tommy or Gary or somebody to walk up to you and hit you across the face? You wouldn't want it. But I can tell you now, them Roman soldiers, they weren't wee men, wee weaklings. They were the greatest army on the earth at that time. Them boys were trained to perfection. They had conquered all round there. And I believe if one of those men hit you on the face, you'd have knew you were hit. You might not have got up from it. And they smote him on the face. They plucked his beard. You know, you'll read about that. I believe it's in Psalms, or where you'll read about the plucked his beard, the hair from his face. Imagine somebody catching you by the beard and giving you a pull. Imagine somebody just pulling your hair. But they caught him by the beard and they said they plucked the beard, the hairs from his face. And then all of that, and they beat him and they put a crown of thorns upon his head. And I seen one time with them thorn, that crown of thorns. In that part, you know, the thorns, and they're that length. And they twisted and they put made a crown and they put it upon his head, and they just didn't leave it on his head. They took a rod and they smote him on top of it and drove it down into his forehead. You know, that's what Jesus went through for us, for you, for me. And that wasn't it. Then they beat him. And they beat him so much, and they marred him, and they whipped his back. You know, it wasn't just like a weapon like you'd have seen in an old film years ago, where maybe on you'd have seen the old pirate films, the old ships, and somebody that had strapped them to a wheel or a side of ship and they'd beat them. And then afterwards you'd have seen them whip maybe a few stripes on his back and they'd been daubing them with a cloth and water. It wasn't like that. You know what it was like? Them Romans knew how to execute cruel judgment. You know, it was based, here's the thing about it. The Roman Empire in the natural was cruel. They were cruel. And in the spiritual, the Roman Empire today is cruel. The Church of Rome is cruel. And you, people, if people heard this, they'd say that man's preaching hate. But here's the thing about it. They trade in the souls of men. That's what they do. They trade in the souls of men. They trade in, how do they do it? They get people to, for a start, they don't tell them of their need of salvation. They don't preach. They don't preach the gospel to them. For a start, you have to do it by works. It's not by grace. I don't know why how they can have it. There's no grace in it, from what I see. It's all by works. It's what you can do. It's what you can look after a grave of a loved one. There's a time every year we have to look after graves. You have to pay into so much. If you read the history, Peter's pants, all them things. But it's a cruel system spiritually. But in the natural, it was cruel. And you know, when Jesus went to that whipping post, it wasn't just a whip. It was a cat of nine tails. And there was nine leather straps on it. And each of those straps, they maybe had bone, sharp stones. They could have been glass, metal. And you know what that was for? That was for when they whipped you, it gripped you. And it gripped into your flesh. And the only way to get out was to rip it. And when they ripped great lumps of flesh from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, that they said he was marred more than any of our moms. They said the flesh from his shoulders fell down over his body. That's what Jesus went through for me and you. That's the price that Jesus paid. You know, why do we need to complain about some things? You know, if Jesus could have grace and mercy and show that much mercy in us, somebody does something on us, show a little grace, show a little mercy, and you know, the Lord will see it. And you'll feel better for it. That's the thing about it. And then after that, that wasn't the end of it. After that, what did they do? They made him carry his cross to that place of Golgotha. That's where the Lord, he carried that. Imagine you putting something on your back. I'm sure everybody in here at some stage has had a sore back. I've had a sore back before, where I've been off work for maybe a week. Where even getting out of a seat's a hard job. And it's just a pain in your back. And maybe straightening up's a hard job. You imagine going through what the Lord went through. And then getting beat like that. And then maybe been lifted to his feet. And a cross put on his back. And not just a cross. Not just a wee light plank. But maybe a big heavy beam or a cross. That he had to carry then on his shoulder that whole way to Golgotha. And it was so great on him that he couldn't do it. Maybe it fell. And they compelled one Simon of Cyrene to come out of the crowd and carry it. You know, that's where you get the name the Simon community today. That's where they get that name from. From Simon the Cyrene. That's the Simon community, that name. That's where it came from, where they said he had helped in a time of need, in a time of trouble, that he stepped forward. They had compelled him when he carried that cross for Jesus. And where they have today, where you show compassion on others, that Simon community. And then what happened then? When he went to Golgotha, they nailed him on the cross. And I believe when they nailed him on the cross, then they lifted through the hands and the feet. And then maybe that cross jolted down into a hole in the ground where they had dug out in the rock for that, like a socket for it to fit into. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ not going down and jolting? And all that on your back and your pain in your hands and your wrists. And maybe the only way to breathe on the cross. You know, here's why the Romans were so cruel too. The way they crucified him like that, you couldn't. The only way you can breathe is to use your legs to lift your body up to get a breath. And then when you're so maybe tired, you have to let yourself down again. And once you do that, you start to suffocate. And any time you want a breath, you have to push yourself up. You maybe have to, you imagine like that, nailed to a cross. And you have to push, and the Lord Jesus Christ is back to state it in. And he's pushing, and he's lifting himself to get a breath. And then maybe the powers run out of him and they fall down again. And then when you don't get any rest when you fall, you start to suffocate. You know, that's why it says when the Jews come to him and want him to be to finish them off, basically, before the high day of the Sabbath. What did the Romans say? They said break their legs. Why did they say break their legs? So they couldn't lift themselves up to get a breath and they would die. They would suffocate. Because a normal person could last for days, maybe, if they hadn't went through the beating that Jesus went through. They could maybe last for 2 or 3 days and not cross, just for doing nothing. They'd been in agony the whole time. But they said break their legs. When they came to Jesus, you know, we know the story of the crucifixion, where they were shocked. He'd already give up the ghost. You know, they didn't take his life from him. He gave it freely. Jesus gave up the ghost.
Amen.
You know, not something. He says, no man can take his life from him. He laid down his life. And he laid down, but the thing again, he says he'd take it up again. As Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. You know, when Jesus went into the... He died. You know what happened? He led captivity captive.
Yes.
Satan maybe thought on the cross, oh, I have him now. He maybe thought he was the Son of God the whole time, but there could have been that wee bit of doubt. Maybe when he crucified him, he maybe thinking, you know, if he had been really the Son of God, he'd have come down off that cross. But here's the thing, Satan only knew so much. God had a plan of salvation from the beginning. And you know, when Jesus died, he gave up that ghost. You know, he went to the realms of the hell, and he led captivity captive. Can you imagine there, Satan, old Satan, where people think that he's some big scary monster? You know what he was doing when Jesus went down? He was trembling. Because here comes Jesus. And you know what he done? He walked right up to him, and I believe, and he maybe Satan had them keys of death, hell, and the grave. Jesus just reached out and he just took them from him. And you know, maybe Satan didn't say a word. Maybe he was afraid in the presence of the Lord. He maybe wasn't even permitted to speak. But Jesus took the keys from him then. He took the keys of death, hell, and grave from him. And right then and there, that was our way of salvation. Because you know, Jesus has the keys today. And here's the keys here. This word is the keys of life. And if you follow it, if you believe it, and if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, death cannot harm you. You know, this body might pass away, but the soul will live forever. And it says, for when, in verse 17, for when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. That's any man, any woman. They'll take nothing with you. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7 says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And somebody said before, have you ever seen a funeral where they've took all the stuff with them? For I never have. You know, it might sound funny, but any funeral that I've been to, you know, it's not a time of rejoicing. It's a time of mourning. It's a time of weeping. It's a time of, you know, a sorrow. It's a time of sorrow. And, you know, the only comfort in any funeral is if you know the person's a Christian. That's the only comfort you have. But you'll never see anybody and putting a coffin in and then they say, hold on a minute. But to put this in with them. But to put all their money in with them. But to put all their belongings in with them. But to put their car, their house. You'll not see that. And the Word of God says, for we brought nothing into this world and it's certain we can carry nothing out. You know, the only thing you've taken out of this world is what's your consciousness. It's what you are now in your soul and in your mind. That's the only thing you're taking with you. Because even if you haven't trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, when you die, your soul goes to hell. And here's the thing about it, if you read about the story of Lazarus and the rich man, when that rich man was in hell, he still had his consciousness. He still had he was still thinking about his family back home. He wanted somebody back home for Abraham to send somebody to warn his family. You know, he still had all them thoughts. What he was on earth, he was still in hell. You know, it's not an awful thing. Here's the thing, if you're a sinner now, you'll be a sinner there in hell. But if you are redeemed now, bought back by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, when you die, you're going to be that. Whatever you are now, that's what you're going to be. You know, and that's simple. People might think, oh, I don't know about that. That's the simplicity of the gospel. You know, you're not going to be something here, and then when you get there, it's going to be this great transformation, and then you'll be a super Christian there. You're going to be what you are here, you're going to be there. But the thing, the difference is, you'll have eternal life. Verse 19 says, He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Matthew 8 and 12, what does it say? I have it somewhere. It talks about outer darkness. This is for the person without Christ in their soul. Matthew 8 and 12, it says, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Not awful. Matthew 22 and 13, it says, "Then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And not if you read that scripture, that Matthew 22, that's where the man having the wedding garment on. He had no wedding garment on. And what happened? He was cast into outer darkness. But, you know, that's the man shall go to his fathers. They shall never see light. But, you know, in 2 Samuel, what does it say? 2 Samuel 22 and 29. Samuel says, "For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness." You know, you don't have to sit here this morning if you don't know the Lord as your Saviour and go to that place of outer darkness. What I would compel you is to do what Samuel says here. It says, "Thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness." And how do you do that? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. It's a simple law. It's a simple gospel. "Man that is in honour and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish." You know, it's not something, no matter how smart we might think we are, here's the word of God says, if you understandeth not, you're just like the beast of the field. When Nebuchadnezzar thought that he had everything, he thought he was a great person, you know, and Daniel was on the go then, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the things that he had seen in his kingdom. But it came a time when he went out onto his balconies, and Babylon, I believe, was one of the seven wonders of the world at one time, the Hanging Gardens. It could be wrong, but I think I'm right. You know, it was a beautiful place. And he went out, you can read about it, and he went out, and he says, "Look at all of this that I have done. Look at all the glory of this." And he basically was heaping praise upon himself and saying what a great fellow he was. You know what God said? He said, "You'd be like a beast of the field." And for 7 years, he ate grass. He lived in a field like an animal. Until one day, the Spirit of the Lord moved upon him. And if you read about the end of Nebuchadnezzar, my own personal opinion is, if I get to heaven one day, he'll be there. Because he says that he knew that there was no God in heaven but the Lord.
Yes.
You know,
amen.
That's the only hope that any right-thinking man or woman has this morning. Our whole world, we can see everything going about us. It not matter how much money you have. It not matter why you have no money. It not matter why you have a great education or why you have no education. All that will matter is the word of God and what you've done with it. This is the only thing that matters. The only thing that matters is why you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. When he gave his life a ransom for many, it says. But the thing about a great ransom, if you don't accept it, you don't receive it, it's no good. My prayer is that each and every one of us will receive that and accept that ransom this morning. Maybe we'll just bow and then we'll have a word of prayer again. Lord Jesus Christ, I just thank you this morning for your word, for your help. Lord, I believe, Lord, even when my voice is quiet, that your word will speak on. Maybe I've sowed a little seed, but you'll give the increase, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for each and every one here this morning, that you'll see if everyone here, if they need salvation. Not only that you'll baptize with the Holy Ghost and power. Change lives, change men, change women, change boys, change girls. Change from death unto life. And Lord, encourage each and every one of us daily to follow you, to read your word, to worship you, to give you thanks, Lord Jesus Christ. For as I've already read, Lord, you give the ultimate sacrifice, your life, for us. You were our kinsman redeemer. You shed your blood at the cross of Calvary for us. And all you ask is that we accept you. Lord, I have accepted you. I pray that each and every one here would accept you this morning as Lord and Saviour. I pray for the remainder of this service that you'll be all the glory and all the praise will be yours. I pray that you would even come in our midst and speak, Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, move in this service. Lord, we commit it all to you now. In and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Remember we saw your faith? I really enjoyed that. Lord bless you, Brother Mark. And really believe that with the Lord. I'm going to get the musicians to come, and I want Mark to come back up. I want him to pray for me. I know it's just a cold. See, this is what I believe. Sometimes we can have a cold, sore head, a sore back. And many times we just say, well, it's just a cold, it's just a sore back. God can heal that. And a brother quoted it when he's preaching, call the elders of the church. Anoint them with oil, the prayer of faith will save the sick, that committed sins will be given, the Lord raise them up. The Lord's a healer. We're going to musicians pray. I'm going to get Mark and our brother John here to pray for us. It's just a cold, but I'm going to get a heal. I just felt while I'm sitting there, I'm going to get healed today. Do you say, how do you know that? Because I believe what our brother's preached. And I believe God wants us, it's been such, what brothers preach so true, the childlike faith, what God wants us to have. I really enjoyed the gospel this morning. It's simple, but yet it's effective. I watched the thing yesterday where Schombach was in a service where he saw 29 miracles performed in one person. 29 miracles God done. I know some of you saw it or not. 29 miracles performed in a wee baby. No eyes, no feet. The doctor said it wouldn't live very long, but it did live, but it was in an awful state. God gave it 29 miracles. Just there and then in a meeting, 29 miracles. But the woman believed. And Schombach said that it was A.L.'s meeting. And he said, hey, all did something that morning. They took up the offering early and all the rest of it. But hey, all said, I want to lift another offering. And I want you to give a faith offering. Now, he said, a faith offering is if you haven't got nothing to give, you have to give. So this woman, all she had was $20 because she told Schombach, I've been here all week, my baby's never got bread for, I've only $20 left. And he said he was nosy. Schombach was the song leader. He says, I'll be honest, I was nosy. And I went over and I looked in the offering bucket and she put in $20. All she had to give. And God gave her 29 miracles for that wee baby. It's one of the greatest miracles. Schombach says, he says the greatest miracle he ever seen. And he said that thing swirled in the child's eyes and the child got two blue eyes. No eyes. No feet. And God gave it feet. 29 miracles. Now Jesus Christ is the same. He's the same. And I'm going to get our brothers to come and they're going to pray. And there's others here need a touch. And that's praying, you know, I didn't give Mark maybe long notice. I didn't know how hoarse I'd be, what way I'd be or anything, but I felt that I asked the brother Mark to do the service this morning. I believe it's been the Lord. It's been the Lord. And I want all these young men to learn something when they preach. And I'm serious about this. Practice it. Practice the demonstration of the gospel. Practice it. You understand what I'm saying? Practice it. It works. And we're going to practice it this morning. And it's going to work. I caught the cold. Now I'm going to catch a heel. Maybe you caught something. Catch what you need from God this morning as well. Come and get prayed for. Maybe it's not a heel. You come and get prayed for. As your brother and sister plays and your brothers are going to come. The Lord bless you, Brother Mark. God bless you.
I come to you on my ability, and I come to you. offered not